There's a land of fadeless days, lies a city four square. It shall never pass away, and there is no time. Oh, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears. And they count time not by years, and there is no night. Yes, they count, and they count time not by years, for there is no night there. It shall hold the gates of Pillar Lane, that city, whose square, for the streets of gold are laid, and there is no night. Oh yes, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no day. Crystal river flows, and there is no way. Yes, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears, and they count time not by years. For there is no way. Yes, and they count time not by years, for there is no night there. Yet they need no sunshine bright. Oh yes, who's where? For the Lamb is all the light, and there is no. Jesus shall lead me.
moments, let's bow our heads. We have one request. Sister Julie is asking for prayer for her sister Tilda and her family. Let's remember them this evening. Heavenly Father, as we've been singing, Lord, such precious songs, how we just long to draw nigh unto you. Father, the activities, the business of the day, we just want to forget about ourselves and concentrate on you. And Amen. Father, we need your grace and we need your mercy to do that, Lord. That, Father, you, by your mercy, once again, would overshadow our souls. That, Father, you would shut us in with you. That, Father, we may have communion with you within the veil upon this day. Father, we are needy people. Father, we've been singing about that you will lead us each Amen. Step of the way. How we long for your leadership Amen. Upon this night, upon the song leader. Lord, that you would lead him in the songs that you would have us to sing. Upon the ministers he had come to break the bread of life, that you would lead him, Lord. And Father, as we had come to prayer upon this night to call upon your name, how we seek in that you would lead us, Lord, that you would lead us in the decisions that you need to make, that you would lead us, Lord, Father, even with evangelism tomorrow to the people that you have ordained unto life. Father, we need your leadership each step of the way. Father, we so depend upon you and we bring in ourselves before thee. And Lord, our sister, she's looking to you upon this night for her sister and family. Lord, you know the situation behind the request, Lord. You know the need that's there. We just bring it before thee. We ask of you, Lord, that you'd minister of your grace. That, Father, you would meet, Lord, these people in the point of need upon this day. Father, we're committing the service unto thee. Won't you be glorified in our midst, Lord?
Amen.
Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our trespasses, Lord. Let your precious blood speak in our behalf now, Lord, and draw nigh unto us as we draw nigh unto you. We dedicate Amen. This service to you, that your will be done. In Jesus' name,
Alleluia. Amen. Amen. Let's sing while we take our offering. Let's sing that song, Friendship with Jesus. Amen. What a wonderful thing to have is a friendship with Jesus. If the saints can keep me in prayer, I forgot to put a request for one good friend of mine at work. His name is Mark. Mark, he actually works in Brad Jose's team. Mark Stewart. He had a stroke. If the saints can just keep him in prayer, I don't know. I just believe the Lord will do something amazing. Let's sing that song, Friendship with Jesus, and take our offering. A friend of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, oh, what bless that one so weak as friendship should ever have. A friend like this to help me to the friendship.
He's a friend of mine, a friend. Life's a voyage, is over, friend, when death draws near. A friend, read on heaven's shore.
This tithes and offering into your hands.
Amen.
Bless your people, bless your children who have contributed, O Lord. Let the heavens, the windows of heaven be open to unto them, O Lord. We commit it into your hands as we commit the remainder of the service into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing, thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. How many will say that tonight? Sometimes. Amen. Only the pastors and a few. It's okay. We stand for the, like Moses, stand for the Lord. Amen. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I live shall praise thee. That's when I bless. Say this is the day.
Amen.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
He has made it for you and me. Hallelujah.
We will rejoice. We will.
Let's sing that song deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. But we want to get higher in the school of wisdom. And we're learning every day. It's hard, but it says, cut, let's do it again. So we go out and we do it again. Hallelujah.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Deep, we go. In thy
Amen. Hallelujah. Draw me nearer. Amen. I am thine, O Lord. I adore thee, and put thy love to me. Oh yes, but I long to rise in the arms of.
us, Brother George, this old world may never cannot hold me.
This old world can never hold me anymore. Any moment I'll be gone. For I am there, my consecration.
You saints, from where I'm standing today, I can see you all very well today because this place is very, very bright today. That's what happens when the lights are switched on. That's what happened when God switched on our lights, and we can see exactly where we are, exactly where things are going, and nothing is going wrong. So we want to thank the Lord for that tonight. May God bless you for the music. We just want to read in the a few places in the Bible. If you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, and we shall also read in the book of Luke 21. Isaiah chapter 3, I would like to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Verse 1, if you have found it. For behold, the Lord of hosts does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. So God was going to take away something from Judah and Jerusalem. Even the mighty men, the men of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable men, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one of them, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not, war unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Amen. We find here the Lord complaining against Judah and Jerusalem, because they had done something that wasn't pleasing to him. And he was pronouncing that I'm taking away the fabric that holds Judah and Jerusalem. The mighty man, the judge, and everything was being taken. And in its place, God was putting children to be their rulers. Amen. And they had even pronounced their sin to be Sodom. And they were guilty. You could look at them in their face. Even though this was fulfilled in the days of Manasseh, the king, when he came to rule in Judah as a 12-year-old boy. And he done so much wickedness in the city, reversing all that his father had put in place. And it led to the final downfall of Judah. And you can see, we all know that scripture has a compound meaning. It was fulfilled then, but this can apply in our days too. I'm sure if the Lord tonight would look at Ireland, he will see that they have also declared their sin.
Amen. That's true.
And he is taking away the ancient man. Mm-hmm. Look now, our rulers, our leader in this country is only 30-something years old. Mm. And it's spreading throughout the whole world. Mm. And it's the doing of the Lord, as the scriptures have said. Yeah. So we want to read again quickly in the book of Luke 21. From verse 25, just a few verses. Jesus Christ speaking. We are most familiar with this portion of scripture in the book of Matthew 24. But here is the same account again after the disciples had asked him about when shall these things take place, of the ending of the world and the destruction of the temple and so forth. And after he had spoken to them a lot, in verse 25 he says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves rolling, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So the Lord is speaking to the disciples that when these things that he was talking of, if you go home and read this chapter, he spoke of many things, when they shall begin to pass, meaning that we've got to be looking out for these things that he spoke of, that when they begin to pass, then we should know it means something. That's what he's saying, that when you see these things begin to pass, you should know that it means something. It's time, and he tells you what you must do at that time. You must look up. Why? Because the day of redemption is drawing nigh. You don't want that day to catch you, and you are not ready. Because the coming of the Lord is two sides, if we are to look at it that way. That for you, the believer, it's the one thing that you are looking for. You are so much looking for it because it means something to you. It's the beginning of something. But to the unbeliever tonight, the coming of the Lord is a terrible thing because they will be found not in the right place. So we want also to go in and to look at these things that Jesus Christ has spoken about so we may know what hour we are living in and then what to do when we see that. Let us just pray for a little while. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your grace that has led us into your house tonight. Father, I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray your blessing, Lord, upon the word, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, that tonight you may use each and every person in here, Lord. Anoint me, Lord, that you may use me. Anoint the people that they may hear, Lord. And that, Father, it may move us and put us in the right place where we are supposed to be. For Lord, as we look at the heavens and the skies and the signs of the times, Lord, we are surely living in the last days. And Father, woe is us if we don't look up, Lord, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Help us tonight, Father, as we commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. I would like to read again in Luke 24, if you allow me. I'm sure you also like reading from the scriptures. Luke 24, just verse 25. Jesus again, then he said unto them, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. So this was the Lord again after his resurrection. He had been crucified just a few days earlier. And we find these two disciples, Cleopas and his friend, the prophet said they were disappointed in what had happened. Why? Because they had certain expectations, if you read in that chapter there, that they were saying, we had expected him, that it would be him that would restore the kingdom. Because these people were under an oppression, they were being ruled by the Romans. And these, when they saw Jesus and his ministry, they began to expect that it must be him that is going to restore the kingdom. So they were under some expectation, but as time went on, things did not go exactly according to what they thought it would go like. He was taken, he was crucified, he was buried. They didn't understand it, and they got disappointed. And they began to go away, as the prophet says. But as they were going, they were talking of these things. It says Jesus drew near unto them. And then he asked them. And then they began, he said, what are you talking about? They said, are you a stranger here? Don't you know what has happened? And they began to say what had happened to Jesus. And then that's where we are reading that he says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And so he began to explain to them, and then they began to see that nothing is actually going wrong. This is what the scripture has said. But something had happened to the disciples that had taken them away from the attention that the things they were supposed to be looking at. Because if they had been looking in the scripture, they would have seen that, yes, this is exactly what was supposed to happen. But because something had taken away their focus from what they were supposed to look at, they got discouraged. They got disappointed. And it happens to many of us many times. It's just because sometimes we are not so as careful as we are supposed to be. When the enemy comes and takes away our attention from the very thing that we are supposed to be looking at. And then we get disappointed. Our priorities go messed up. But that's what we want to look in the scripture today to say, but what is it that we are supposed to be looking at today? And we find it there where the Lord says, when you begin to see these things come to pass, then you know what to do. Look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Yeah? And these disciples that we're talking of, they were living in prophetic times. These were very, very prophetic times, just as much as we are living in prophetic times. But because their attention went to something, they were looking at the restoration of the kingdom of Israel in those days, in their lifetime, like that. And then now they missed where the scripture had said, this shall happen to him, he shall bury it with the rich, and so forth and so forth. They missed that attention. And the same thing can happen to us as well. If we take our focus away from what we are supposed to be looking at and begin to look at other things, then we will get into a place where these people got into. That they will also, we will also get disappointed. A small thing can rise up in the house. It can become such a big thing. Why? Because we are failing to look at the things that we are supposed to be looking at today. The hour that we are living in is a very prophetic hour. Why? Because the Bible speaks of these times that we are living in. Jesus spoke in this chapter we just read in Luke 21. A lot of things concerning this time that we are living in. Of how nations will be perplexed and men's hearts fearing, you know. And if we look today at the condition of the world today, even the things that are happening just right now in our times now, where Russia and the United States and UK are coming up and saying Russia has done this. And a few weeks ago, Russia said, oh, we have a new weapon that nobody can stop. If you are a natural man and you are just looking at that, you can become perplexed. Because what are you going? Ireland has got no defense against those things. If Russia decides to send a missile today here, we are doomed. But because we have confidence in the Lord, that before any of those things take place, you and me, we are out of here. But so, whenever people begin to see how the war in Syria is going, the whole country is nearly destroyed, and people are perplexed. They don't know what to do. But we know, those things, even though we feel sorry for the people that it's happening to, but those things don't bring us into a place where we are discouraged, Amen. Where we don't know what to do. Amen. We know what to do because right now as we look at those things, we can see our day of redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. It's supposed to do something to the believer. Amen. If you see these things happening and you look in the scripture and you see this is scripture being fulfilled Amen. Right before my eyes. Amen. It's a wonderful experience to notice something. If somebody has ever prophesied on you or said something about you, Amen. And you'll be like, how would that ever happen? And then the following day it happens and you see it happening. It's a serious experience. Amen. Say, my. So what more if you read something written thousands of years ago and then you see it happening right before your eyes? It's supposed to do something to the believer. Just as these two brothers that were going to Emmaus. And they were going and they came to a place where the Lord drew near unto them and began to speak to them. And you fools of slow to of heart to believe all the prophets have said. And he began to speak from Moses. He began to speak all that the prophets had said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he finished. They constrained him into a house. But all those things that they heard him speak, they worked together to a place where their eyes were opened. Amen. These were people that were in a certain state of mind of disappointment. Mm-hmm. They had, so to speak, maybe moved away from the program of the day. Because there was a program in those days that God had for the people. They were supposed to head to the upper room. Imagine if they had missed that experience. You see, so going to Emmaus, they were going away from the program of God for them in that day. That's what disappointment can lead a person to. But God found much grace for them. He came near and began to speak, and their eyes were opened. And the effect of eyes getting opened, it was like a revelation to them. They saw and said, And in the Bible, it says the very same hour, they rose up and quickly went back to where the program of God was. That's what's supposed to happen to you and me. When we are disappointed, discouraged, tired, and a revelation finds you in the way. It's supposed to quicken you. Amen. It's supposed to shake you back into the position that you are being discouraged from. Amen. It's supposed to put you back into the program of God for your day. Amen. And we all know that's the program of the hour that we are living in now. Is the coming of the Lord. Is the ending of this world. Because Sodom and Gomorrah did the very same thing that is happening in this world now. Amen. So God is just. He has to judge this world. Amen. The prophet spoke and said, these are the last days. I don't know if you have my slides there. I might just jump between them. The second one, sister, if you could, please. Sorry, the third one. The prophet says, it's the same time now, maybe the next. Church, the evening light has come. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or events made clear by prophecy, same today. Because this is the place where the prophet was speaking of these two disciples. But now he's saying, same today, like in those days, events are made clear by prophecy. And he says, same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Events made clear by prophecy, same today. The evening light promised by the prophet of God in Zechariah 14:7 may again open the true believer's eyes to the events that's taking place today. Amen. So when these events happen, the light that God has sent is supposed to open your eyes to them. Amen. They are not just events. These are prophetic events taking place, and they are being fulfilled so that you can see to say, these things were spoken of, and now they are happening. Mm. Then you should now move. It should do something to you. Amen. Eyes, true believers' eyes to the events that's taking place today, that's proved by the prophecies that we are at the end time. Mm. Jesus is coming. So all these events are designed in a way to catch the believer. And you look in the scripture and see them and say, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And then it moves you to open your eye and move into the program of God. But many times, these things, they come, they find us not in the right place. Instead of us getting moved into the right place, we still continue in our disappointments. Men is kind of like that. When things take a bit long to manifest, to take place, when things that you're expecting to happen take some time to happen, we kind of become discouraged. And it seems as if no amount of world events can happen that can shake us back into place. And we find that many, many places, the prophet speaks of that. In some of the examples that we find, let's say in the dream of Junior Jackson, I think you all know that dream of Brother Junior Jackson, where he dreamt a pyramid that the prophet had a crowbar and he opened it up and there was a little white rock inside. And the prophet came and said, look on this to the brothers while I go. And they all came and they were looking. And what happens? He started to go and Brother Junior Jackson turns his head and begins to look at him instead of looking at what he was told to look at. And then before you know it, the prophet vanishes and then everybody starts to get, they're tired of looking at it. They start looking away, and before you know it, almost everybody is gone. But thank God a few brothers remained and they stayed looking. Amen. And that's you and me today. Amen. That many people have been told by the scriptures, look on these things. Don't look on those things, but look on these. But because it has taken so long a time for the Lord to come again, people begin to, maybe I better go and work and get a house. Maybe I better go and work and get a degree and things like that. Things that are necessary, yes, for us to be able to live on this life. But they should never become the primary focus of our lives. Amen. We should always keep our eyes on the thing that we are supposed to look on, the coming of the Lord. Because when you look at the coming of the Lord, you keep everything else in perspective. The prophet says, you must live as if he's coming tonight. Amen. But then must live as well as if he's coming in 50 years, because we don't know when the Lord is going to come. But he is coming, and the Lord himself speaks and says, no one knows the hour or the day, but he comes like a thief in the night. Amen. So if you know that a thief is coming to your house tonight, I am telling you, no one is going to sleep. Because you know somebody is coming to break into my house. So you are on alert all the time, guarding and expecting that this thief will come. But because our enemy is very, very cunning, he comes and shines something over here. You know he's coming this way. He shines something over here. He plays some music over there. He brings a new movie there about the black people and everything. And all of a sudden, because it's a movie about black people, you feel like you have justification to go and watch that witchcraft. It's the same witchcraft. But people go there and they identify with it. They even change their dressing in church to identify with that. You see, that's the enemy trying to take your attention away from what you are supposed to look at. Because in these days, these are very, very dangerous times that we are living in. The prophet says, I think I must have messed up my... But they are so dangerous because you never know when he's coming. Yeah? If you could put just the previous one, please, sister. Oh, the Bible is full of these nuggets. We can't get them all in one night, but it's just fitting to say this now. Tomorrow may never dawn. And that is the truth. We may be gone before tomorrow. I may be preaching to a person that will be dead before in the morning. I could be gone before the morning. Brother, sister, that's not a myth. That's actual fact. That we could be gone in the morning. That's how we must live our lives, thinking it could be tomorrow morning the Lord will come. Because surely, as sure as anything, one of these days he will come. Amen. We don't know what time we are going, and you will not have any chance after that last breath leaves your body. Amen. Make it right now. Don't wait till the morning. It may be too late. Amen. And that was in 1965. Amen. How much more urgent is the call tonight, Amen, that the Lord is coming? And it is for you, and it is for me. And when we catch that revelation that is coming, you will see how quickly everything that is not necessary will fall away. everything will just get into its proper perspective. All your priorities will get into their proper perspective when you catch that revelation that the Lord is coming. And the signs are speaking of his coming. They have been speaking of his coming for many years now, you know. But somehow, we always miss it. Even in the other same message, I think, says, is this the end, where the prophet speaks about another dream that the other brother had. I can't remember his name. And they were having like a hunting or something, and they were in the bush, and they came to a place where they wanted to make some food for themselves. And this brother gets up and he says, from this moment on, Elijah, the great prophet, will speak. And then what happens? They eat their food, their stomachs get full, and the people did not wait for Elijah to speak. Imagine if you were in the fulfillment of that vision. And then you are sitting and then you hear Elijah, the great prophet, will speak. And then you eat your food and then you get up and go to do other things. Even in the other one, visions from the Lord, I think he explains a vision that he had where he was preaching and his sermon had two climaxes. And he was preaching to the people as if like under trees or something like that. And before he finished preaching, the people got hungry. They took their attention away from the sermon. And they were like, we need to find some biscuits. And they begin to go, and he pleaded with one young couple to say, stay. I haven't finished my sermon yet. They said, but we've got to go and get some food. The very same thing that happens in the lives of people, even now in our time. Amen. That sometimes you could say the service was probably too long. But once you take your attention away from how long the service is and put it on, the Lord is coming. It may be before morning time that he comes. Amen. You see that maybe the service is not so long after all. Amen. That maybe you need to stay a little bit more. Amen. When you take away your attention from your college assignment, from what your manager is doing to you at work and giving you a lot of work or being unjust to you, and see that the Lord is coming. Amen. Instead of complaining of that manager, you are going to begin to pray for him. Amen. And not only pray for him, but you are going to go to him. Because the Lord is coming. Amen. What's going to happen to that manager if the Lord comes tomorrow? You are in a safe place because you gave your life to the Lord. Amen. And he's coming for you. Amen. But what's going to happen to that manager? How do you know maybe the Lord put you in that place for Amen. That very manager? Amen. So that you can speak, you will be the one, the link to him. Because God doesn't have any hands to use tonight. Amen. He needs your hands. He needs your mouth to speak to the people. But every week the call comes to go and evangelize. Who comes? No one. Why? Because perhaps maybe we don't have a full revelation of how late the hour that we are living in. We are living in very dangerous times. We are living in glorious times. You know, the prophet speaks of that as well, that these are very, very dangerous times to the unbeliever. But it's the most glorious time. So imagine all the people that are perplexed today in the world. Mm. If you could reach to them, you have the power in your hands to turn these dangerous times to them Amen. Into the most glorious time for them. Amen. Imagine what would happen to your neighbor when you get to heaven and you are standing there with the Lord to judge the sinners. And there is coming up your neighbor. Some of them will be shocked. Some of them will be justified to say, but Lord, this man was my neighbor for 10 years. They never even told me about the gospel. Of course, I know we are written epistles read of all men. But sometimes when you are taken away from your focus, that the Lord is coming, and then you get busy, cumbered about by the cares of this world, and every day the Lord is sending opportunities to you to speak to people. And it comes to you when you are not in your place of duty. You haven't even prayed for a whole week. And then there is someone, and you feel in your heart that the Lord wants me to speak to this person, but you've got nothing to say. Because you haven't read your Bible even. That's a terrible thing to be. And it isn't only for brothers to witness to people. It isn't only for adults to witness to people. It is for brothers as much as it is for sisters. You remember the woman at the well? She was a woman. And she actually lived in a worse time than the women are living in today. Because this has become a woman's world. It has become a woman's world, even that chapter we read in Isaiah. If you continue reading it, it speaks of how the women will have rule over men. So it has become that kind of a world. And instead of our sisters taking advantage of that, because in those days you could never go on the street and speak to the people. It was a terrible crime that you could be stoned for as a woman. But today, even though the enemy has used it to his advantage, but we can also use it to the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
That our sisters will know. Now nobody stones me if I go on the street to speak to the people about the Lord. Why not? I've met a woman that has given me tracts many times in the city.
Amen.
But we have other priorities many times. Saturday is the time for washing, and that is very true, and ironing, and spending time with the family. But these things are becoming too much of an excuse. Surely every Saturday.
Yeah, that's true.
Why not even one Saturday a month, or one Saturday every 2 months, that people would say, no, I'm going on the streets.
Yeah.
You stay home with the children.
Yeah.
Then you say, no, I'm not staying. It's okay, let's take the children with us.
Amen.
And we go and teach our children.
Yeah.
Because this is a commandment of the Lord.
Amen.
Teach your children this thing. When are you going to start teaching your children to witness to the people? At what age do you do that? So when the time comes when the sister says, I'm going, and you want to go, take the children as well with you and flog the streets so that we can witness to the people. Because the things that we are believing, saying, these are real, true things. The place that we are talking about, where we are going, it's a real, real place. Remember when the people were in Egypt under bondage, and there was like no sign at all that the Lord is going to redeem them. It must have been a hard, disappointing thing. But one day, sure enough, Moses came. The Lord spoke with me, and he told me to come and deliver the people. Yeah? It may have been a conceptual idea to some people, but as sure as anything, the day came when they walked out of Egypt. And they crossed the Red Sea. They were in the wilderness and they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. Yeah? And he sent 12 spies into the land. And those people came and they said, yes, yes, the land is there. We have seen it with our eyes. Even though 10 gave an evil report, but there were 2 that gave a good report. So those people, they had the evidence of the land that they were supposed to go into. But the sin that they committed was that they did not believe that they could have that land.
Yeah.
And it's the same as you and me tonight.
Amen.
We have evidence of the land where we are going to.
Yeah.
We find it in the scripture. Paul speaks about it. That I went to a certain place and the things I had there, I was caught up in the third heavens.
Amen.
The things that I had there, I couldn't even speak about it for 14 years.
Amen.
And it's not lawful for me to even speak the words that I had uttered there. Yeah? That's witness. That the land that we are talking about, it's there.
Amen.
It's not a mythical place. It's a real place.
Yeah.
We have another witness, Sister Hope,
yeah.
Brother Branham's first wife.
Yeah.
You remember when she said, why did you wake me up, Billy? What? No, not wake me up. Why did you call me back?
Amen.
Yeah? She had been so sick in the hospital. And the prophet came and they told him that she's dying. And he came to the hospital and he went into the room and he found her lying there. And he went and he touched her and shook her a little bit. The prophet says, I will never forget what happened. She opened those big, great eyes and said, Billy, why did you call me back? Why did you call me back? Has it ever happened to you that you are sleeping and you are dreaming a good dream? You know?
Amen.
Maybe you have some financial trouble and it's been troubling you, and then you are sleeping, you are dreaming a good dream. And maybe in that dream you are signing a contract or you got a job, or maybe somebody is giving you money. Just as you are about to receive it, somebody shakes you up. Now, maybe because our lives are not so much sweetened with prayer, we can say, why did you wake me up, you know? But when your life is sweetened with prayer,
amen,
you say, like the sister said, why did you call me back, Billy? Why? Why? Because you were in a condition where That condition was far much better than what you are being called back to.
Amen.
She was sick. She was a young mother, 21 years old, with two little children. But she was in a condition which was much better than the condition she was being called back into. And she said, "Why did you call me back?" And they spoke a little bit and said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "You have preached about it. You have talked about it, but you have no idea what it is like."
Amen.
"What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm talking of heaven. That's where I was. I was being escorted to home in this nice place, and it was so peaceful, and there were birds flying in the air. And you call me back." Imagine. The prophet might have thought maybe, "Yeah, I called her back to the children and me. She loves me." But no. She would rather choose that place than this place. So it's not a place, a mythical place that we are talking about. It's a real place that we have a witness of, that there's people that went there before and brought back a witness. I've never seen an atheist who says they have died and there's nothing there. The only witnesses that I've ever seen is of people that have died and rose again, and they speak of a certain place, either a good place or a terrible place. The first time I started to become aware of the need for salvation was on a tract that I picked up in our bedroom. I used to share with my brothers. I think my brother picked it from somewhere. And sometimes when we are giving tracts, we don't see the value of those things. But you can pick a tract and put it in your Bible and put it somewhere. It gets somewhere, somebody picks it. And I picked a tract. And it was of a man who had died in a prison. And then he rose up under some circumstances after a few days. And he was never the same again. And when they asked him one day, he wrote that tract and he said, "I went to a terrible place. And before I entered in there, I was given opportunity to look across. And I saw my mother. She was in a good place. And I was shoved into that place. And the next thing I remember is I was just falling. And it was so hot, and I was so thirsty. Then the next thing, I woke up." So these places are real. There's so many testimonies. Even the prophet has got experience of both worlds, both places, where he went one time when he was a little boy after he had been shot. And then later on again, he says, "I will never be the same again." After he had gone to a certain place, a real place where there was real people. So this is not a mythical place that we are talking about. This is a real place where you and me are going.
Amen.
And the Lord is going to judge this earth here. There's no room here. This place is not our home at this time. Why? Because they have declared their sin. They have done terrible things that when those things were done before, what happened? The Lord burnt the whole place. So the same thing that happened then is going to happen. But what we need... And I know that revelation is not something that you study for. Revelation is not something that somebody can teach you and say, "Come, I'll teach you revelation." God is sovereign. He gives revelation, you know? But that's exactly sometimes what lacks with people, is that when there is no revelation, it's very, very easy to be moved. Imagine in the days of Noah, when God spoke to Noah, God revealed something to Noah and said, "There's going to be a flood." Noah lived every single day in that condition that there's going to be a flood. And I must prepare for it. And Noah, it says, he moved with fear because God had revealed to him something that was going to happen. And the things that God revealed to Noah, they are on the same level as the things that have been revealed to us today. The Lord has sent his light through a prophet in our days to reveal to us the things that are going to happen now. This world is going to have the end of time one of these days. But us, you and me, we are going to have the coming of the Lord. And he will take us to a certain place, you and me. So when we see all these things begin to happen in our lives, in the nation, in the country, in the community, all these things that have never happened before, imagine like the snow that we had just a few weeks ago. These things, maybe when you look at the monetary terms, then you begin to see that, oh, it wasn't just snowballs. It was a serious, serious judgment that the Lord will be meting out on some of these countries, you know? But us, when we see those things, well, we are happy. We take pictures of the snow, put on our WhatsApp profile. Fine. But then we must maybe look a little bit deeper and find out, what does this say? What kind of times are we living in? And when you get to a place where you look at things that way, you begin to see that, yes, something is fixing to happen in this world. The world that we are living in, soon, one of these days, the time is coming when it will be no more. But because the enemy is very cunning, he tries to take away our attention. But tonight, we want to go into the scriptures as we have looked and see the day that we are living in is not like any other day. This is a day when the Lord is coming. And in the Bible, you find where the Lord speaks about the good and faithful servant that has been put in place. And then the master is coming back and he finds him doing what he had told him to do. That's what you and me must do. Amen. That we have been told to do something. We shouldn't say now the Lord is delaying in coming. So, yeah, I can do this and that and that and beat the other fellow servants and do this and that. You know, there shouldn't be. We have time for those things because we are lacking in revelation of something. Once you know that the Lord is coming and tomorrow he could come, before tomorrow he could come, there's no time for those things. Amen. The time that you have is to prepare yourself and tell everybody that is around you that the Lord is coming. We've got to be ready. And the Lord speaks and says that we must look up because the day of our redemption is drawing near. So perhaps maybe we had been complacent, some of us, in the last few weeks, few months, few years. Maybe we have just prioritized only our education, our home life. Maybe we have prioritized our work and things like that. But today we have read in the scripture, it says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Because the day of redemption is drawing near. So we want to look up just briefly tonight, us. Each person is an individual. We just want to look up and say, Lord, I remember Calvary tonight. I want to look up. Perhaps maybe I've been busy with other things, but I would like to look up just so I can know that everything with me is clear with you. Because once you are not in line with the program of God in this day, you are living in a terrible, terrible condition. Because anything can happen to you, regardless of how healthy you can be today, tomorrow can be another story. Because the things in life, they just happen suddenly. Just when you are not expecting it and you have done all your diligence, you think things are going well, then suddenly something happens. And it can change the whole world for you in just a moment. So we want to look up, say, Lord, I want to begin to look up and live my life in this way. That every day I look up to you, just like the people that were in the ark, they had nowhere else to look except to the window that was up there. Amen. That was their only way of looking. And that's the only way that we must look through anything that happens in our lives. Let us look up. Let us look at the things that are up, not the things that are down here. And the only things that are up there is the word of God. Amen. Let us look at everything that we have through that. Let's just get into a moment of prayer, each one of us, after the musicians lead us in a small chorus. And then we just focus ourselves again, just to keep our eyes looking up to those things. Yes. If we can sing that chorus again, Brother George.
Amen.
Can never
hold me.
And I have my
listen well, and
ourselves to the Lord, just to give our lives over to the Lord and focus ourselves again. Everything else in our lives is secondary. The very thing that we must be looking at tonight is the coming of the Lord. And if we are not prepared, then let's prepare ourselves, because it could be in the morning that He comes. Let us pray. Amen. Our heaven.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just going back briefly again to the book of Isaiah. In chapter 3, verse 4. Before that, the Lord has spoken that I'm going to take away something, but I'll give you something. He was going to take away the captains of the 50, the mighty men, the judge, and the bread and the staff of the city. And he was going to give them something. And he said, I'll give children to be their princes, and babes to rule over them. And this happened in the days of Manasseh, when he became king. You may sit down, saints, just briefly. And he became king in Judah. And soon after his reign began, he began to remove all the things that his father had put in place, because his father was a godly man. But this boy began to remove all the things that his father had put in place, and putting up worship of foreign gods and everything in the city. And then the Lord spoke this prophecy, that I will take away and give you this, and then babes should rule over you. And this was fulfilled already. But the prophet has taught us that scripture has got compound meaning. And we find these things taking place again in our times, that people have taken away the word of God from schools. They have taken away the word of God from their constitutions. They have done much evil, and they are voting in things that are not convenient for people. They are doing horrible, horrible things that are difficult to speak about. And the same conditions that we had, that existed then in that city, are existing again in this time that we are living in. No wonder the Lord says, I will take away the stay and the staff. I will take away the bread. Something happened to the economy, and these things are happening again. I know at this time we have a boom happening in Ireland. I don't know, I could never tell what's going to happen, but it all looks very, very artificial, just like it happened again in the previous one. But something else is happening in the world today, and to us it seems, to me at least, it seems like a move is spreading through the world, because I couldn't help, I know my children always slag me about, he wants to watch the news again. That's the only thing I ever watch then. So, and then you see, oh, there's an election taking place in Italy. And then you wonder, some of the people that are becoming prime ministers and things like that, very, very young, much younger than I. And I don't feel like I'm an aged person at all. But some of these people are 31 years old. I'm like, my, and the people are going voting for these young people, putting them into place. And then you read a scripture like this, you just begin to wonder, to say, but what is happening in the world? It seems like the young people are having their moment now. Even with the shooting that happened in Florida a few weeks ago, sad as it is, but the things that come out of those things, like the young people last, I think this week actually, they walked out of the school and say, if you don't change anything, we are going to be voting in 2020. So who are they going to put there? One of their colleagues. You remember the son of Solomon. The same thing can happen again. Yeah. And even in America, I don't follow too much politics, but sometimes these things come across your way and you can't help it. Yeah. But to know that, oh, there's been an election in a state called Pennsylvania. I don't know what a House of Representatives, what it means, I don't know. And here is this man, this veteran, this man that is of ancient of days, and when you know, he's filled with wisdom and a wise person. And that state has been a Republican state for many, many years. Then this young guy comes up, stands in the election, and then he wins. And you're like, but what is happening? So sometimes these things happen like that. And then you go and look to say, exactly what is taking place. So it made me to go and look and just Google and search and to say, how many of these world leaders are young people? I don't know if you have my last slide there, sister. How many of them are young? So I was just looking, and it struck me as something is happening in our world today. Before, when we grew up, We knew that, the president is old, he's mature, he's things like that there. But today, the thing that is happening is, it's surprising that you can list countries, the oldest of these people is this one from Canada. And you can see what a terrible, terrible president or prime minister he has been. But look at all these other young ones. 31, and he could be a prime minister of Italy. Look at our own here, 38 years old. All these guys are in their 30s except this one. And they've been in power for some time, many of them. It shows that something is happening in our world. It's becoming like a wave, like a popular thing, you know, like something goes viral and, oh, we want to elect a prime minister that is presentable, that people can associate with the young people. But the wheels of prophecy, to me, they are moving. And when I see these things, I look up and say, the day of redemption is drawing near. What things, if you go and consider what he has done in his country, and then go and consider what he has done in his country, you'll be shocked. Go and consider what he has done, and he's only 34 years. He makes a whole nation like America come to the table on his terms. And he's only a 34-year-old guy. What is happening in our world? And when we look at our families, these things happen on the family level. They happen on the national level. They happen at community level as well. Even in churches, as a community, you find that the young people are rising up. Now, that's the other side of this now. This is the bad side. But on the good side, it's a season for young people to rise up. And the young people are rising up. You can see that God wants to express something when they stand here and sing a song. You can see that something is happening. Imagine when those same young people today decide that, no, tomorrow hire a bus for us. We are going to bring the gospel to Kalo or something like that. Something can happen. But many times they are very busy with work and things like that. But we want to encourage them. I don't feel like I'm an old person yet. I started losing my hair when I was very young. So I want to go and do my part as well. That when the hour comes, then people would say, yes, thank you for coming. Yeah. Do you not appreciate that the prophet had to live his life the way he lived for you and for me? Amen. Do you not appreciate that the Lord Jesus had to die on a cross the way he died? A 33-year-old man, look at what 33-year-old people are achieving. He started his ministry when he was 30, yeah? But when he was 12, we record him in the Bible. He was a young boy, and he did something. So this thing doesn't have an age limit. Amen. It's for you, it's for me, it's our work. We are supposed to look at these things and see what's happening in the world. Amen. And it's supposed to move us to say, my, if a young person like this one can be a prime minister, me, I'm just content with being just a member of the church, you know? I think that maybe if in this aspect we are allowed to raise our ambitions very high. But no, if this man can be a prime minister at 31, I want to be the next Mother Teresa at 31. You know, I want to be the next so-and-so at such an age, you know, and raise our ambitions for the kingdom of God. Because as the pastor says, only the things that you do for the Lord, that's what remains. Everything else will pass away. You can be such a learned man and bring such wisdom, worldly wisdom, to the people of this world. But one day, as sure as anything, death will meet with you as well. And all that becomes cannon fodder, nothing. Only what's done for Christ will remain. Amen. So I would really love for us to take that into account and keep it before our eyes that the world is changing. The young people are doing something. Scripture is being fulfilled. But us as young people, let us take our place as well and also leave a mark on this world. That yes, they may say that there's no God in this country, but at the place where this sister works, they know that there's God. Amen. At the place where that brother works, they know that there's a genuine God. Amen. Because here is a young man that is not taking his attention away from the important things. Social media doesn't attract him as it attracts other young people. This and that doesn't take away his attention from the important things. And if we can keep our eyes on those things, I am very sure that the Lord will use even babes tonight to do mighty and wonderful things. May God bless you again as we invite the pastor to come and close for us. Amen.
And just ask by George, the musicians could come one more time. Let's sing that song and think about it, that, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over. You know, in seasons like this, you just want to hide yourself in him. When the world is falling apart, you know, the prophet preached the world is falling apart, then he preached the message, the world is again falling apart. Straight after the seals. And imagine in his time, like Brother Wilmore was saying, if the prophet could see things so clearly then, imagine how much more he'd say it today. When he saw things in a seed form, and now we see the harvest of the things which the prophet saw coming. Our friend, it's good to hide ourselves in him this evening. As Brother Wilmore was saying, just to check our priorities once again, just to see, you know, what are we doing with the strength of our youth? What are we doing with the best of our week? What are we doing with the best that the Lord has given us? You know, in the Bible days, you'd give the best of what you had to the Lord. And then you'd take the rest and you'd use it for yourself. So let's really lay ourselves upon the altar once again as we'd come to pray once again. Say, Lord, I want to hide myself in you. You lead me, Lord. I want to do something that's worthy of you. The prophet preached the message, is your life worthy of the gospel? You know, it's a life worthy of the gospel is one that's worth, that's willing to step out, to say, Lord, I'm going beyond my comfort zone. Let me do something for your glory. Let's sing that song, Brother Joe.
Tears come, what a door it will be, thanks forever. Oh, my loving brother, oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? I be over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, live for me. At the sound
children the right way, and leading them by example. If you took that list of rulers there, I guarantee you most of them apart from those ones from those Muslim countries, are not even married. Or they wouldn't believe in marriage the way that we believe in marriage. Most of them don't have children. And these are the people that are making the decisions and making the policies that affect the education of our children. Friends, it's time that we really apply the token. You know, it's really, really, you desire that your home be a refuge. You desire there's blood on the door. You desire the Lord to be real in the things that you do. Because this generation that's coming on, like the brother was saying, remember the old, you know, in the days of Solomon when the young man took over and he went and he spoke to all of his father's old counselors. And the old counselors said, no, have mercy on the people. Yeah. And then he went and he listened now to all the young men. All the young men said, no, your father, he was a hard man. You'd be harder than your father was. And that young man came and he destroyed the kingdom. Friends, there's something about the wisdom of people that have been through things. People are making policies who know nothing of family life. How can they understand the things that we go through and the needs that we have? Friends, the world and the system of the world is falling apart. But God has sent us a message. God has sent us a kingdom that shall not be moved. That all else might be shaken, but we receiving, Paul says, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's just make sure that that is our first priority. That is the most important thing. And as we come to prayer, saints, let's pray now. If you don't have opportunity tomorrow, if you don't have opportunity another time, but I really do believe it's a good time for each person to pray for the outreach tomorrow. And I was in touch with Sister Pauline. She's in America at the moment today. You know, Brother George had been last night in Carlo and speaking to a certain man. What was his name? Jerry Moore, yeah? And so I just asked Sister Pauline, I said, do you know this man that Brother George was speaking to last night? She said, yes, I know him and his mother very well. His mother was the first Christian believer in Carlo. And to me, it really struck me that. And I said, but Lord, this is an amazing thing. And I said, which church they go? She says, no, they wander from group to group. They wander from church to church. Then I said, but Lord, now here's people that have made a stand. Here's an old lady that was the first Christian, not Catholic, but Christian, who made a stand in Carlo. And now the message of the hour has come to her son. And Brother George was speaking to her son last night. And then we have Tom, the other guy from Carlo, the one who hurt his knee. He phones all the time. Friends, there's such a rich field that's ripe for harvest of people that are seeking for something. Something that's sure and something that's steadfast. And friend, you look at yourself and you despise yourself sometimes, but you've got something that you don't know. There's people out there would give a fortune to have the very thing that you have. You know, so we have an opportunity to go and share these things with other people, for the Lord to bring us in contact with people that are searching for something that is steadfast, a more sure word of prophecy. They've been through all the prosperity churches there. They've been through all the, you know, the different realms of religion. And now the time has come in God and His simplicity is visiting a place with His truth. You might not have an opportunity to be there tomorrow. You might be busy, have to do other things, but I'd say you have an opportunity this evening. Let's unite ourselves together to seek for God's blessing upon these things, to seek for the leadership of the Holy Ghost, to seek for the Lord to move people even now. Maybe people not planning to be there tomorrow in the center of Carlo, but His children, to move them in a strange way, you know, so that there can be a coming together under the program of God. So I'd say that is the most worthy thing that you could pray for tonight. You know, is to pray for the success and the prosperity of the work of the Lord tomorrow. And if the Lord stirred up your heart tonight through the preaching of the word, please, you're more than welcome to be there tomorrow as well. You know, the fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. And the Lord said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into His harvest. So let's pray. Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that boldness may be given unto me. Those are things we really desire to pray for this evening. Anything else that the Lord lays upon your heart, let's put these things before the Lord now. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing and prosperity. We're always in the will of the Lord doing missionary work, the prophet said. So let's come before the Lord, saints. Before we had gone, let's put this service tomorrow in the Lord's business into His hands. Let's all pray. blessedness of glorifying the name, the blessedness, Father, of giving unto the Lord and praise, the honor and the glory, Lord. Bring myself unto thee, Father. I just wait upon you. I just look unto thee. I dedicate myself unto thee. I want to bow down and bring myself unto thee. I bring myself unto thee.
Father, Lord, God, to partake even of such a divine nature, O God. Lord, Father, O God, tap into your mind, O God, even as has been ministered tonight. Father, we pray your blessing even upon our brother in the way that was used to tonight. O God, Father, O God, Lord, may you remind us of the time and the hour that we are dwelling on this, O God. Father, we see the signs all around us, Lord, the world falling apart again. Lord, crumbling, Lord, Savior, Father. And Lord, Savior, Father, like the prophet spoke of that young boy, Father, Lord God, walking through a dark, Lord, Savior, cemetery, whistling and trying to entertain himself, and Lord, trying to drown out, Lord, that fear. Lord, that is how we feel the world is, Lord. Lord, it's lying to us, O God. Lord, Father, train, Lord, Savior, to drown out, O God, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, Savior, destruction that is yielding to come. Father, Lord, we look unto thee, Lord, even upon this time. Thank you, dear Lord, Savior, for your kindness, Lord, that we in this case, Lord, have had a prophet, Lord, that has come to us, Lord. That has given us, Lord Savior, Lord precious Savior, our holy Lord Savior, our Father of all, the Son of Lord Savior, that is coming to scripture, body peace to us, Lord, of the body, Lord Savior, and judgment, Lord Savior, Lord, and the token, Lord Savior, oh, how we want, Lord Savior, our Savior to heaven, Lord, that token life of life. Oh God, help us, Lord, to flee the wrath that is to come. Oh Father, he peace to us, Lord. Oh God, Lord Savior, desperation. Oh Savior, we want to be desperate, Lord, in this day. Can you pray for us a pardon, Lord Savior? We desire pardoning, Lord Savior. Yes, we have, Lord Savior. Let me have praise the Lord. We don't look down in our part, Lord Savior. We are thankful. Lord Savior, our day, Lord Savior, pardon, Lord. Oh, you put us in, Lord Savior. And Lord, Father, brought us, oh Father, out of a world, Lord Savior. Lord, we escape, Lord Savior. Let destruction to come. And even as our brother, Lord Savior, let us so peace, Lord Savior, about the young leaders, Lord Savior. But Lord, you think you have made us kings and priests. You have made us leaders, Lord Savior. Even in this life, Lord Savior. Oh God, leading with a truth. Father, we think of those people tonight. My word, Lord Savior. Lord, that I spoke with, Lord Savior. I think of Lord Savior and space. Oh God, Lord Savior, how are you, Lord Savior, short? Lord Father, how the prophet spoke, can you pack those things, oh God? Oh Father, let them lead, Lord Savior, Father, to my Jesus, Lord Savior. And even that way you pray, Lord Savior, speaking about what, Lord Savior, if you, Lord Savior, would work an exploit, Lord, what a mighty miracle, Lord Savior, even in this issue, Lord Savior, our Lord Savior, I would desire. It's a fertile ground, Lord Jericho. Father, oh God, supply the laborers, Lord Savior. The harvest is big, Lord Jericho. Bless our brother, restore virtue and strength back to him. Bless your church, your people, keep us with him.
Let's sing one more. We ask Brother Max, would you come dismiss us, please, bro? Thanks so much to Brother Willie. God bless you, bro. Do appreciate it, bro. Just to say to Brother Nat, thank you very much, Brother Nat, for the lights. Brother Nat, putting all the new lights. God bless you, Lord. Brother Greg's asking for a time to meet up tomorrow. I think we need to discuss it with the saints afterwards. We'll get a time there. That's fine. Let's sing one more and ask Brother Max to come to dismiss us in Jesus' name.
Beulah, I'm longing for you. Yes, someday on the ascent.
This evening, oh, glory be to your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the provision of this place. Father, we always come here with one purpose in our heart, is to come and hear from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Father, how thankful we are
that always the meditation of our hearts, Lord Jesus, brings you, the all-sufficient God, always in our midst, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that the author of the world himself was here tonight. That, Lord, you have brought unto us the remembrance of your word, the hour, the time, the period that we are living in, O God. Father, as prophecy says, we will come to a time when it will look like neither day nor night. The prophet said it to be a day of dismal, and that's the hour that we are living in. But the prophet said, oh, we have sufficient light, enough light to do the work of God. So, Lord, we thank you that we have this message, Lord. The Lord Jesus, even now it is upon, Lord, the heart of your people. Oh, to go out there tomorrow, Lord Jesus. Oh, to take this message, Lord. Father, we know that, oh God, you have ordained the day for us.
Amen.
And you are the one that directs the footsteps of the righteous men of God. The Lord, you will lead our footsteps to the places that, Lord, you have ordained this your word, the message to be, your God. So, Lord Jesus, we all surrender to you, the Lord. Grace will give us utterances and wisdom, O Lord Jesus, to say the very things the Lord Jesus will win, O God, the people unto the kingdom, Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord Jesus. It has been a real great and wonderful time with you. As Lord, we thank you for our precious brother Wilmore, that he set himself aside for you to use him so tremendously, Lord, tonight. Father, it's a word of grace, a word that has been preserved for us, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you. Bless him and his family, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
What you are doing in this house, Lord, truly we are seeing, oh Lord, the manifestation of the fivefold ministry. Oh, so tremendous, that Lord Jesus. We thank you for our pastor, oh Lord, that has given room for all these things, oh God, to happen, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless him and his family also, Lord. So, Father, tonight, the way how we came in gentleness is that you accorded us, oh God.
Amen.
Oh, once again, Lord Jesus, you take us through the night, oh God. And Father, if you tarry tonight, and that we will see the beginning of another day, as Lord, we have purpose upon our hearts, Lord. Amen. Father, take us as we go out there and do thy work, oh God. We thank you, we bless you. Many as were not able to come, Father, our precious brother David and others, Lord, we commit all of them into your hands. The Lord Jesus, the blessings that we have received, God, you know how to render their portion also unto them.
Amen.
We thank you. We bless you. Whom should we remember again? Oh, we thank you for our precious brother Nat.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, that we see a change, O Lord.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother, and your family.
Amen.
And we thank the Lord Jesus for all what he has been doing in this church. Yes. Bless our song leaders.
Amen.
And musicians, oh Lord. Yes, Lord. Bless every ministry. Bless every officer that in this church, oh God.
Yes.
We thank you once again for our pastor.
Yes.
In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we say thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, saints, God bless. Let's sing one as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Let's remember Brother Fergus, he's very sick. We've got a virus. You don't often see Brother Fergus sick, but he's really not well. Brother David as well, I meant to say this. As we would go, let's remember them in prayer that the Lord would raise them up in Jesus' name. Amen.